Back on Earth, the human financial systems are also churning, unfortunately. And it's hitting home in more ways than one. There were twice as many American homes going into foreclosure in the first quarter of 2008 than in the same period of the previous year. That's about 650,000 homes heading for bank auction. Up to 2 million American families will run away from their high mortgages and failing property values or get kicked out. California is by far the hardest hit by this cycle of foreclosures.
In fact, the homeless population in California is estimated at 360,000, including 95,000 children, making it the highest in the nation. And there's a growing trend in California cities to ban overnight parking, which targets the homeless people living in their cars. But in Santa Barbara, where there's an estimated 4,000 homeless, the city's tough no parking ordinance has given way to a creative new solution, the only one of its kind in the state. And it seems to be working for the homeless and for the city.
Is it just coincidence that Santa Barbara has finally given up trying to move along all the working poor and disabled people living in their cars? California, with its fine climate, is also the leading nation in the new phenomenon, the mobile homeless.
Anybody that lives in their vehicle can come to me and get a permit to use our safe nightly parking spots around town. We park people at night between 7 p.m. and 7 a.m. and problem solved. The beauty of this program is that these parking lots are empty at night. No one's using them. We're not encouraging people to sleep in their vehicles, but the fact is people sleep in their vehicles, and we have to deal with that.
But it's all over the nation. We hear about the ones who make it out, like the pop star Jewel and American Idol contestant Josiah Lemming. 18-year-old Josiah Lemming was living in his car in Tennessee when he tried out for American Idol. Now he's sold about $40,000 worth of music over the net since getting kicked off Idol but appearing on The Ellen Show. Jewel says she was living in a tiny Datsun 510 hatchback. When that was stolen, she borrowed enough to buy a Volkswagen van. When Jewel went homeless, she was working as a waitress and scraping leftover food off patrons' plates, unable to make the rent. She lived in her car. Nobody knows how many people live in their cars in many countries. They are the invisible poor and hope to stay invisible. Cops move them on, and the cost of parking tickets can be high. Some cities have harsh fines and even jail terms for sleeping in your car. Even the official counts of the homeless do not include this unreported minority, who are surely growing as the economy weakens. It can happen to anyone. One dot-com CEO, a multimillionaire on paper before the bust, ended up in his converted school bus with two sons. Many lost their jobs or relationships or had other personal problems. It is startling to discover the number of car people who still work at low-wage burger joints or part-time at Walmart. They just don't earn enough to pay the rent in the region where they work. According to a study done by the National Low-Income Housing Coalition, last year was the first time on record that a worker earning minimum wage would not be able to afford a one-bedroom apartment at the average going rate anywhere in the country. Hurricane Katrina added to the mobile homeless, sometimes called the half-homeless. People lost their homes and had to flee quickly, and the car became the place to live. This could happen, even temporarily, to anyone. Struck by a storm, an earthquake, a terrorist attack, or just the next round of company layoffs. Are you ready? Here are Uncle Al's tips to be prepared, living in your car.
I see senior citizens, I see women, I see families. Especially the women and senior citizens, they don't deserve to live in their vehicles. It just really hurts me.
Step one, if you have any choice, pick a vehicle that allows you to sleep comfortably. Old station wagons are good, camper vans are better, but a lot of cars have back seats that fold flat and even trunk access from inside the car. Add a roll-up foamy for the bed. Of course, if two or three people are sharing the car, then it's lean back the front seats and somebody curls up in the back. It is possible to remove the front passenger seat and put in a plywood platform from the back to the front on the passenger side if you are a car-bound loner. But that really tips off the cops and nosy neighbors who want to complain about you.
I was a part of society, and I did have a life, and I did have a home. I did have a cat.
Step two, live better electrically. In order to have lights, operate a coffee grinder, a CD player, or even a computer in your car, you need to learn about batteries. Listeners who ever intend to install low-cost solar setups should also pay attention now. These are the facts of car battery life. The ordinary car battery is not designed to store large amounts of power. It is made to produce a lot of juice for a short time to start the car. After that, the engine powers the electric system. These car batteries are also fragile when it comes to being drained down. If you drain the battery to nothing, say by leaving the headlights on for 20 hours, the battery is weaker than it was before. Drain it just 3 or 4 times, and that battery is dead. Of course, if you are depending on the battery to start your vehicle, you don't want it to go right to the bottom. And who knows how much is left, so you are afraid to use what you have. The answer is to install a second battery and a different kind of battery. This assumes you can scrounge about $150 sometime or have a mechanic friend. Most cars and trucks have room under the hood for a second battery. A local garage can mount a second battery box for a fairly small fee. They should also install a device that is found in all RVs. These recreational vehicles have at least 2 batteries, and there is a switch, usually installed on the firewall, that allows the engine to charge the second battery. The switch also prevents the main battery from ever being drawn down. That is, when you plug in your 12-volt coffee grinder into the cigarette lighter, the power will come from the second battery only. No matter how long you leave on your little electric lights inside the car, the main battery will never be used. It will be strong to start the car. We can all make do with the battery that we find used at a garage, but the second battery should ideally be a deep discharge type, also called a marine battery. These can be drawn down near dead more than 24 times and survive, and they are designed to store lots of power to be released slowly over time instead of one big burst to push the starter motor on your car. There are all kinds of funky little appliances available now in 12-volt, ready to plug into your cigarette lighter. You can even get an extension cord with several 12-volt plugs to run several items at a time.
More people are living in their vehicles out here than anybody's even thought about since Steinbeck wrote Grapes of Wrath.
Car batteries give off bad chemicals, which can very occasionally explode, so you can't put a second battery inside the car where you live. If there isn't room under the hood, you might get one in the trunk, mounted in an airtight battery box, these plastic things, they don't cost too much, which has a vent drilled down through the floor to the outside. I have done that. You might have to get a mechanic do it for you. The point is, batteries need air that you aren't breathing. Oh yeah, and a battery that never needs maintenance is the best kind, the kind where you can't lift the little lids to see the fluid. Those old ones just spill when you go around the corners. The mobile homeless even have their own stand-up comic. Here's Daryl Bedford, who's living in his car in Alberta, Canada.
So my vehicular unit has to double as my residential quarters. That doesn't make me any different than you guys. Like, for instance, you have problems, like you'd complain about rent and mortgage. Well, I have to pay parking, right? And the high price of gas affects me just as much as it does you. In fact, maybe even a little bit more so, because now that octane is so pricey, most people only keep their tanks like a quarter full, which means I've got to spend more time going around at night siphoning gas.
Well, step 3, if you are still getting some kind of income while living in your car, the next step is to save up for a cheap solar panel to put on the roof. The harsh truth about battery charging is this. You can never recharge a battery just by idling the motor. Even if you sit in the driver's seat with your foot on the gas pedal, revving like hell, your battery barely gets a charge. Trust me, I've tried it. It doesn't work. It doesn't recharge the battery enough to light up a mouse's flashlight. The only real way to recharge your battery with the car or van is to drive it. Like 50 miles or so, highway driving works best. That puts a load on your generator or alternator and you get the juice. But at today's gas prices, who can afford that, and it's bad for the climate? It would be cheaper to take the battery to a local garage and get them to recharge it overnight for you. But a small solar panel will recharge the battery every day, even on cloudy days. The size of panel you need depends on how far north you live and how much power you use. A 50-watt panel is expensive, but really works. Even a cheapo 15-watt panel should keep up if you scrimp on your power use. Go solar as soon as you can.
And the automobile, it can get quite chilly while I'm slumbering, you know. Luckily, it's been a mild winter. Thank you, SUV drivers. I appreciate it. The global warming keeps me toasty. Yes, it does. You guys like me, you see a guy in a big SUV drive by, and you say to yourself, now there's a guy with a nice crib.
Step four, well, windows are the key to keeping warm enough or cool enough. They're also a security concern. Let's picture summer. You want the windows open to get air. Unless you are the meanest mother on the block, you probably want the windows just partway down to keep people from reaching into your home while you sleep. But anyone can reach in to lift the door locks and then be on you before you really wake up. The solution, which I have used for years, is to buy four cheap sliding deadbolts at the hardware store. Get or borrow an electric drill and install these sliders way down low on each door, hopefully where they are difficult to see, and yet you can reach them quickly, from the inside. Slide these extra locks closed at night. Then when that attic thief or creep tries to reach in and open the door, they're frustrated to find it is still locked. By that time, you have time to react. I've used these inside door locks at the sketchy overnight rest stops, just like the one outside of L.A. And incidentally, if you think those windows are going to protect you, people can smash them in, so it's handy to have those door locks installed. The best option is to always have your keys handy, always know where your keys are, get them into the ignition, and drive away. That is why you always sleep with enough clothes on to legally drive, or at least to talk to the cop who wants to move you on. I say, when sleeping in a vehicle, never put the club, you know, those security clubs, on the steering wheel. You want to be able to drive away quickly. Of course, you can call 911 on a cell phone if you still have one, and at worst, you can always have either the club itself or a handy hammer to discourage the invader from reaching in again, because your doors are still locked. Sorry to talk about all that, but security is a big concern for people living or camping in cars or vans. The very best solution is to travel with a largish dog, but only if you have enough money to feed your friend and pay the occasional vet bill. And the dog has to go wherever you go, because you can never leave it in a hot vehicle. Step 5 is getting back to that hot and cold thing. If you have a second battery, you can buy some really neat 12-volt fans to save you from the hottest day or night. You can even mount a couple in the window cracks. It is possible to have a 12-volt food cooler, but shop carefully as some are energy hogs. You have to open up the box right in the store and read the owner's manual to find out how many amps per hour it draws. The formula for electricity is simple. Volts, the level of electricity, times the amperage, the flow of electricity, equals watts, the total electricity used. So a 12-volt cooler, which draws 4 amps per hour, is about 50 watts, 4 times 12. A cooler drawing 4 amps can only be run a few hours a day at most, likely at the hottest part of the day. Usually these things work better with some ice cubes added to help them out if you can. Most car dwellers learn to live without things that need to be kept cold. Powdered milk instead of liquid milk in a cooler, for example. When it comes to keeping warm at night, the windows are your biggest problem. Car windows just leak heat out and let cold in right away, even when they're closed. You can keep a little warmer by hanging clothes over the windows or even making puffy insulated curtains for them. It makes a huge difference. The real secret to keeping warm in a vehicle is not to heat the car, but to use your own heat to keep warm. That means sleeping in several layers of clothes and wearing a toque or hat, because most of your heat leaks out through your head. Thermal reflecting blankets, those silvery things that fold up quite small, work well too. Every car should have two or three of these thermal blankets just for emergencies. They can save lives. Well, here's a few final tips. Don't forget, if you are still working or hope to get a job, you don't want to stink. Camping stores sell a black rubber bag which heats up water in the sun. They come with a shower attachment, which you can use hanging from a tree or even discreetly in a back alley. Get a propane cook stove when you can to heat up water for sponge baths as well as meals. You cannot use any propane appliance inside your car, ever. Cooking can be on the tailgate, a picnic bench, anywhere outside. People trying to use propane stoves as a heater to keep warm routinely die of carbon monoxide poisoning, outside only for propane. Of course, your car should not look too neat or inviting to thieves. If you leave it during the day, stash as much as you can out of sight, and maybe toss in a few newspapers and smelly socks to disinvite visitors. Yet it shouldn't look so run down that the cops arrive. It's a fine balance. Living in a vehicle can save tons of money, especially when visiting expensive cities. Car homes are also a good fallback for public emergencies like terror attacks, storms or earthquakes, or even just a fire in your own home. With a few arrangements, you can be comfortable for a while. Good luck and bon voyage. Some voices of the homeless are taken from a video called Half Homeless from CaliforniaConnected.org, produced by Angela Shelley. This is Radio EcoShock. Light up your iPod or computer with tons of free green audio from our website at www.ecoshock.org. That's ECO, shock like an electric shock, .org.